AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high-quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear-headed, full of energy, and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop, once a day, before breakfast, and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee, because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Cock!
A camel chutney!
Hello and welcome to episode 38, season 13 of the Fighting God podcast. It's just me and Ricky today, boy.
What's up, boy? What's up?
Yeah, a quick question. It's the Monday, Thursday Q&A, but it's on Friday because just shit happens. Shit gets in the way. We're busy. Busy, right?
We've got lives.
We've got lives. This is my life.
Yeah.
Just making that clear. Just need to address it's a Q&A podcast. So I have to address this question from Spurs fan 107. Did Flav fall victim to a recent injury crisis causing him to miss Monday's pod? Was Matty Cash involved? And someone said there was no cash here. Actually, I'm guessing the opposite. Yes, I got paid to do something else. So I had to do that. Okay. All right. Alex did fine. Few people going, get this fucking weird geezer off the pod and never have him back again. But apart from that, done all right. I thought it's good. Good pod. How you doing, Rick?
Yeah, I'm all good, mate. I'm all good. I went for a lovely 1.5 hour walk in the fields, the farmer fields around where I live. And then when I got back, my kind missus had left me 2 boiled eggs to make my favourite sandwich, which is an egg mayo sandwich.
You're a disgusting pig.
Egg mayo sandwich, real butter, white bread, and like I was looking so forward to this sandwich. I bit into it and then it happened.
What? It came.
Normally I would, but do you ever get it, right? I don't know whether it's because you're dehydrated or what, but when you bite into an item of food and you take that item away and there's a bit of spit that's still connected from your lip to the sandwich or anything like that.
I don't know. I've never had any recollection of that.
No, and you bat it away like it's a cobweb, and I just made myself sick. I was so. I know you hate the word, but I gave myself the ick, and I ruined my whole sandwich experience. And straight after this podcast, I'm going to go into my bedroom and the floor to ceiling mirror. I'm going to look at it, look at myself in the eyes, take my belt off and just whack myself on the back.
Self-flagellation.
Yeah, that's it. With the buckle.
You had impure thoughts.
Yeah, because I hadn't, maybe I hadn't hydrated, and that's why this bit of stringy spit was still connected to my mouth.
Stop saying it. There's so many things disgusting about that story. There's stringy spit, the fact that egg mayonnaise is your favourite sandwich. Like, you eat meat, you've got tons of options.
It's my favourite kind of like a homemade sandwich. Maybe a bit of nostalgia in there.
So your missus has boiled a couple of boiled eggs for you and just left them out. By the way, I thought you was going to say, oh, missus come home, had a bit of a tough morning, blowjob. But no, two boiled eggs. That's how you know you've been together too long, Rick.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
Boiled eggs. You serve a blowjob.
Floats my boat.
Yeah, disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. It is the Q&A podcast, so we don't know what's going to happen. As we said, every time, I'm not sure what's going to come up. There's plenty of questions on Reddit and on Twitter. Before that, though, we've got to remind everybody. We actually got a bit of an update. There is the Fighting Cork social on Sunday for the game against City, and we thought we'd be do a kind thing, and that kind thing is, it's free. Anybody who wants to come can come. You've got to still get your ticket. The link to the free ticket is on Twitter. If you've already bought a ticket for £5, then you get a pint on us at the bar. Okay. So if you've bought a ticket,
that's lovely.
So it's free, right? If you haven't bought a ticket and you just want to go along, it's free. If Spurs score at any time, pint for everybody in the pub.
Oh!
So not only if you've paid for it, you get a free pint. But if Spurs score, you get another free pint. That's two free pints. If Spurs don't score, then you get fuck all. Although, generally, the pub are very gracious, so... I mean, I'm not saying that they will hand out free beer if Spurs are shit, but they may do. The link will be on Twitter, and it will be distributed as well with the podcast, so you'll be able to find it. There are about 100 tickets left, so if you want to go along, like, you're going to watch the game anyway. I know it's going to be a challenging watch. I actually feel weirdly optimistic. I don't know how you're feeling, Rick, but I feel strangely optimistic about the game. The last time we lost 3 on the bounce, we did beat City away, so there's that. And... yeah, so go down to the Bellevue, get your ticket before. You have to have your ticket, otherwise you won't get in. But it is free, like I say. And if Spurs score, you get a free pint. Everyone in the pub gets a free pint. And if you've bought your ticket already, you get a free pint. I don't know what else to say. Go along.
Free beer, good to me.
Yeah. Rick, how are you feeling about the game? Do you understand my weird optimism about it? I don't think we're going to get steamrolled like people would think.
I did hear, I don't remember the stat exactly, but it was, I don't think City have lost to a team as much as Tottenham under Pep. And also I think maybe we were second or first of goals conceded, top team as well. I think Liverpool were up there when they played Liverpool. There's always been high scoring games, but Tottenham's up there as well. We've won there quite a few times. So we're a bit of a bogeyman to City, and you know, this backs against the wall kind of mentality and the way that Ange plays. I don't know, man. Like you were just saying, lost three on the bounce, went up to City, done them last time. Could happen again. It might not be the horror show that we're all thinking, and they're the Champions League game during the week. So hopefully
they went 2-0 down to Leipzig.
Yeah, exactly. We could do that. We could be Leipzig.
I mean, are we better than Leipzig? Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
And it's, look, you got the thing is, when you're a fan, you're like, you think the worst about your own team. There are shitter teams than this Tottenham that have gone to the Etihad and won.
Do you remember that time as well when we played City and Royale scored? Didn't he score two?
Yeah, he did. Just... Yeah. There you go. And Emerson Royale will be starting as a centre-back for Spurs.
He fucking stuck it on him. So, do you know what I mean?
City. He loves playing City. Who knows?
Son loves playing City.
It doesn't. And we've got all the injuries and it doesn't matter. Because you know what? I like the sound of a midfield that says Basuma, Kulusevski... and Lo Celso. I don't hate that midfield at all.
Yeah.
Do you like that midfield, Rick?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
Is it better than the Basuma, Højbjerg, Sarr midfield?
I think it's more attacking, most certainly.
Bloody hell, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's go up there. Let's give him a good game.
Who the fucking thunk, Rick? Who would have fucking thunk that Aston Villa would come to Tottenham Hotspur and we would play them off the park like we did with half a team? A team that was decimated. Exactly. Lose Bentancur. Have you ever? I've never experienced a more unlucky period in terms of injuries ever in my life at Spurs. I don't think.
No, I can't. No, think I can't. No, I can't think. There's been some bad ones, you know, where Kane's done his ankle and he's been out for a long period. And there's been, you know, where players have been missing on international duties and all that kind of stuff. But not sustained injuries and sweeping across our team, across our squad. It's fucking mad. And once that happens, things can only go up. You can only get players back. So... Yes. Exactly.
Do you know the last time I can remember an injury crisis this bad? I would say I'm going to say 1994. Free. We had to sign Ronnie Rosenthal on a free from Liverpool because we didn't have any strikers. In that period, he scored the world's best hat trick that's ever been scored against Southampton in the FA Cup.
Mate, that is a fucking unbelievable.
But that's back when you could fix an injury crisis. When you know, if you've got a problem, just buy players because there's no transfer window.
What is it? You know, like you can do emergency transfers during the season. You know, like if your goalkeeper, something happens to him, or you've got like two goalkeepers out and you can get an emergency one on loan.
I don't understand it. What? It feels like these emergencies never benefit Spurs. It's always another club that gets the benefit from the emergency.
Why can't we get an emergency?
What? So Newcastle get an injury. Tonali's been banned. Now the rules have changed so that they can fucking loan Ruben Neves back in January. Fixes everything for them. Why don't we get, like, I want some of them loan players from fucking Saudi.
Yeah, exactly. Rick, exactly that.
What do you think of Jota? You're not a big fan. I love Ricky. So Ricky makes his mind up. How do you make your mind up about whether or not a player should sign for Spurs? It always fascinates me because I know if we're linked with a player, like if I said to you Lloyd Kelly, yes or no?
No.
No. Right, because he's from Bournemouth and he's 26.
That's exactly it. ignore the number. I don't care about his age. From Bournemouth.
Right.
Next.
Well, but when we signed Dele Alli from Milton Keynes, did you not go, yeah?
Well, it's because he's from Milton Keynes. I knew he had that in him. Knew he had it in him.
All right, let me give you another one. Matt Doherty, Wolves, yes or no? It was a no, wasn't it?
It was a no.
Yeah, same.
Actually, I didn't really mind that because Wolves were kind of decent then, and it played into this kind of wing back that we wanted to play, and he was all his stats was good, so I was like, yeah, all right.
All right.
Wasn't over the moon, but yeah, it was good.
Emerson Royale from Barcelona. Do you like the sound of that? Did you like the sound of that?
I did. I did. Bloody
if it was
loved
Emerson
it.
Emerson Royale from Stoke. Would you like the sound of that?
No, I would not.
You got to trust that they know what they're doing. Like the
actual... if it was Emerson Royale from Stoke, it'd be Emerson Royal, not Royale as well.
Yeah, Emmett Royal. All right, let's do some questions, Rick.
Do you know what? I've got a question. I'm going to throw my own question in, and I wasn't on Monday's pod, and this is going to be a bit of a weird one. I know you're going to look at me, but when I was younger, right, and my dad used to take me and my two cousins, Alec and Ryan, used to drive us from Milton Keynes to Tottenham when Terry Venables was manager, and my dad used to make us sing. Not make us, but we would sing Tottenham songs all the way on the drive down there. And we used to sing this song over and over. And it used to go, Terry Venables, where are we? Terry Venables, where are we? Terry Venables, where are we? And me and my cousins, we always sing that. And it makes us laugh.
What does it mean?
I've never, ever, ever heard that chant in the stadium. No one, and I've looked online where that song came from. I've asked my dad, what is the context of that song? So I can try and get it out there so someone can answer me. And he thought it was because we were high up in the league and we were saying, where are we? Like, as in to say, where are we? Like, we're up the top. But I think it works on a level that we were down low, is to say, Terry, come on, fucking help us out. where are we?
Terry?
I have no idea where it comes from. If there's any old heads listening to the pod that can help me out, has my dad just done me and my cousins up a kid and made us sing a weird song?
He's just made it up. He's made it up.
He has, hasn't he? He has. But he's got a tone to it, though. Where did Terry Venables, where are we?
Well, maybe Tottenham, Terry Venables, Blue and White Army. He's just got the words wrong. He's heard it wrong.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah. I think that. That's what it is.
Look, if there's anyone listening to it and that was a chant, somehow that got picked up and like resonated around the pubs. Terry Venables, where are we? If that somehow got...
You're singing it like with... You're a bit incredulous, but it's Terry
stupid.
Venables, where are we?
It's stupid, Rick. And
I just that's my question for today.
If your dad's listening, you've made that up, and now that's stayed in Rick's head for his entire life.
Yeah, and if you are listening, which I know you are, Dad, if you ever make me miss the calf again like you did on Sunday against Villa... For 2 months, I've been looking forward to that fried bread and that dirty fryer.
Where'd you go, Happy Jeff?
No. Do you know what happened? He was late. Wasn't the trains, though. It's just because he got a late train. Didn't tell me. So he's 45.
Bit of context here, Rick. A bit of context is that we got a message from Ricky, and he's saying, look, I was supposed to meet my dad at 11 o'clock, and he hasn't texted me. It's very unlike him. I'm a bit worried. And we're like, all right, Jesus, hope he's not dead. And then and then what happened? He just got a later train, didn't say anything.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. No, not even delay. So then I was like, okay, he goes, let's go to the calf. Calf was Ramo anyway, and all the other calves were, so we couldn't have a sit down. And then I said, Dad, it's like nearly 12. I have a burger for my first meal of the day. I need like a bit of bacon, a bit of sausage. And he's like, we'll go to the van. I was like, right, dirty van. Okay, fair enough. Got to the first van, there's bacon rolls there, and I was like, do you want to go? He goes, no, I know of one on Park Lane. I was like, Dad, there's no food vans down Park Lane anymore. Like, it's gone since the new stadium. He's like, I know of one. So we walked the 10 minutes around the corner, got to the van.
I've got another van, Rick, don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. Got to the van, it was a burger van. I had to have a cheeseburger for my breakfast. So I know you're listening, Dad. That never happens again. You ruined. That's why Tottenham lost.
That's on you. That is on you. Let's get some questions from Zeus. It says, with Gio going through a renaissance, do you reckon they did Remy's in the renaissance period? Yeah, of course. I don't think going down on a bird's arse is, you know, only happened in the last 20 years. I'm sure they sort of thought, oh, what's that? I'll see what that's like for years, you know, hundreds of years, maybe thousands.
I think, during the no one spoke about it, but they did it.
Yeah, usually they would paint this stuff. So I haven't seen any paintings from the Renaissance period of someone going down on someone's ass. I wouldn't be surprised somewhere if it was available. It's not like the internet now where everything's available, is it? There was restrictive media back then. But just to talk about Lo Celso, massive opportunity for him. Played very well against Villa, I thought. What did you make of it? Was you a Lo Celso doubter, or was you a believer like me and Martin Nesbitt?
I think that he does have it in his locker to play a part and to be that more creative piece within our team. And I do like the fact that he's left-footed and he can open up different angles playing that high up and putting balls in down the channels, and I've seen him do these little cute reverse passes as well. He's a smart player, so I do think he has that ability, and you know, he plays for Argentina, so like, there's got to be something in that.
Yeah, Spurs fan base had written him off, though. I think by and large people
And to be fair, they were right. Like, I mean, the injuries that he's had, he's barely featured for us in all that time. There hasn't really been a time where he hasn't had a sustained period within the team where he's built up that consistency of playing week in, week out and knowing where he's playing and his teammates and how they like to play and stuff like that. But I was impressed with his performance against Villa, and maybe I am being a little bit harsh, a little bit rushed. because I just want us to win. But I want him to take more control of the game. I want him to want the ball, to demand it, to be pointing at his feet and say, look, give me the ball and I'll be popping the ball off left, right, and I want to dictate the play.
I saw some of that at Villa, didn't you? There was, but
I want more.
I want more as well.
It will probably come.
Let's give him, give him the opportunity then. It's like when you're sleeping with a bird in the first night and obviously you're excited and you come really quick. And you go, no, give me a chance over a series of evenings to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the bedroom. Now let me evolve.
And then it gets to Sunday and the performance hasn't evolved and you were just lying.
But that's why I think Lo Celso's got more in his locker. I think he's got a couple of tricks with his fingers. Do you remember the reason why? This story came about during the... I think Conte's summer, and everyone was going, the problem with Lo Celso is just a bit weird, isn't he? That was it. There was no real substance to it. It's just, he's weird. He's a weird guy.
I always remember as well.
Celebration against Villa, by the way.
Yeah, that was great. I always remember there was this other weird little rumour that I heard that Messi didn't like Lo Celso because Lo Celso beat him in, you know, those like table tennis, but you do it with a football and it's just bouncing back and
forth. It looks well odd.
Yeah. And I heard that Lo Celso beat Messi and was being a bit braggy about it. So Messi wanted Lo Celso out of the RG team. I heard that. Absolute lies. But that's one of those things that sticks in your head. And that's when we signed him. I was like, well, if he's fucking beating Messi at like, table tennis, football, then he's got to be good, isn't he?
I also remember a story about when we signed Lo Celso, a bloke was in a cab, taxi cab, talking about Real Betis and Tottenham, and they were talking about one player, and the taxi driver goes, oh no, it's fine, you can have him. And the guy said, I think we're signing Lo Celso, and he nearly crashed his cab, the Betis cab.
Really?
Yeah, I remember reading that, and then you know, so obviously good based on that.
Yeah. Loads of stuff that says he's good, so he'll comes good.
He's never had a system that suited him at Tottenham. He's been a part of one of the most transitional 4 or 5 years that any club will have to go through. Went from being Postecoglou to Mourinho to Santo to Conte. All of that period was fucking horrible by and large. And Lo Celso is in the middle of all that. Now he's got a manager who wants to play possession-based attacking football. I can't see a world where he doesn't succeed. The issue, though, is that the minute Maddison's fit, he's gone. Also, we had the spectre of Barcelona hanging over our heads because if Lo Celso has a good... Well, they want him already. They see a good player in him. That if come January, Barcelona come knocking for Lo Celso, there's no chance Lo Celso goes, no, I'm staying loyal to Tottenham. Like, why would he? It's Barcelona's the opportunity. The issue, and we talked about this on the preview podcast I did with Mark earlier. If you want to become a patron of the Fighting Cock, you can. We do preview podcasts. We've got the other podcast, which talks about anything to do with football. There's also a podcast a reaction to the game in 5 statements. There's loads of stuff on there. So become a patron, and we talk about this. But if Barcelona come knocking, it's difficult. But it's also difficult for him to sign. For them to sign from Spurs because he's got a contract till 2025. His market value, if you look at transfer market, is around 14 million euros, which isn't a lot. It's 10 million, 15 million pounds, 10, 12
million. Is that it?
Well, that's it according to transfer market. But his value is directly lined to how much we will demand for his to leave. How much we demand in order for us to have to deal with his departure. And you know, in the summer, you'd be thinking, well, whatever, just get him off the wage bill. Now, with Maddison out, and it says January that he'll be back, but he might not be fit to play till early Feb, Lo Celso becomes super crucial. And if he's crucial, then Barcelona have to pay, and Barcelona don't have any fucking money, so they don't have to upset the apple cart.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them.
Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Interesting.
So what? So what are you saying? Sell him?
Saying fuck Barcelona. That's what I'm saying.
How much? How much would you put on him? How much would you sell him for?
We talked about this actually. I was thinking in my head if we get a bit of. I wouldn't sell him for anything because we don't need the money. But, and that's not to say he's invaluable. It's just that we can't deal with that on top of everything else. If they want him in the summer, we'll work something out. But then they're not going to want him in the summer because Gavi will be back. And playing again, so it would have to be a bid of something around £40 million.
I was going to say 40 as well.
And that, and Rick, that isn't to say that he's worth 40 million. Like that, people are going, "What 40 million for Lo Celso?" The problem created by selling him is massive. So 40 million is what you have to pay in order for us to deal with that problem.
Yeah,
because we don't need your money. We're richer than you are, Barcelona. But you get players on reputation.
Yeah. That is... are we richer than Barcelona?
I think so. I just say stuff, innit? It doesn't matter.
But we are now.
Yeah, we are. Facts. As said, on a podcast once, Tottenham Hotspur are richer than Barcelona. Well, you look at revenue in terms of what created. If you know, Manchester City's revenue of 700 million or something was mental. I was like, there's no chance. Anyway... I don't want to say anything that's going to, it's pointless. Sam Cornish, she's got a question. With a decimated starting 11 against treble-winning City, a Sunday 4:30 kickoff and 10 hours in the car due to train strikes this weekend, how stupid are we for going up there? You're not stupid, because this is what football fans do, or some football fans do. What if we win, Sam? The story of going through all of what you've had to do and then winning, that's something you can tell your grandkids.
And all the photos you can take. be a lot of photos, good photos as well.
How many photos can you take in a car?
Yeah.
Not that many. Rick, what's the biggest journey you've taken? What's the biggest journey you've taken for a game of Spurs, do you think?
Does that include like flights?
Everything. Like, what's the most sort of difficult journey? Madrid, is it?
No. Well, I mean, like Madrid.
What's you slept in your car with your dad?
Yeah, Seville. Yeah. Seville. That's what I was going to go with. So that was a flight from Luton to Alicante, and then got a car and drove the fucking however long it was, 8 or 9 hours, to Seville. Slept in my car with my dad. That was a long one. And then
was there any bits during the evening that you were sleeping in the car with your dad? You just thought, what the fuck's going on? Did you wake up?
Yeah, there was like loads of people pissed up just banging the bonnet while we were sleeping because there's two men in with duvets asleep in their car. That's when I thought, fucking hell, this is rubbish. And then me and my dad went to the local bus station because it's, you know, it's open and it's free. And then we had to brush our teeth and wash our face in there. So...
How long in total was you travelling?
Oh, fuck knows, man.
Yes.
That would have been probably, let's say, 13 hours.
13 hours. Okay. And what was the score?
We lost 2-1.
Yeah, there you go, Sam. There's your answer. Steve Collins says, which one of the following players at their peak and devoid of injuries would you add to the current first 11? Without our current injuries and suspensions, and why? So you have the option of these three, Ricky. King,
okay.
Modric, Berbatov. I don't think there's only one right answer, but what were you saying?
Who I could sub in?
You could bring one of those players in, regardless of injury, King, Modric. Like they are, imagine, fully fit, playing at their peak.
Right. I'd probably bring in King because... our defence is is not coping very well without Romero and Van de Ven. And if we're playing against City, you need an experienced man in there, didn't you? I'm going with King. Who would you pick?
I just went straight for Modric because he's the best player I've ever seen with my own eyes. But
there is that.
But what's the option if you just bring King in? You play Royale. Would you play Roy? We've led the King if he was fit for this game on Saturday. Would you play Davies or would you put King on the left and play Royale? Who is our best centre back? If it isn't, it's Royale is our best centre back. Is it or Davies?
No, it can't be Royale. No, it can't be.
But why? Simply because he plays right back.
Because he's no good at centre back.
What he's not? What he's not? No, don't say no good. Because against Villa, he was fine.
He was okay.
He was okay. Fine.
He was okay.
Same thing. Fine and okay. Same thing.
Fine.
you're right though. King would solve a bigger problem than Modric. But I can't. Like, you give me an option to bring Modric back.
Has he been getting some game time at Madrid? None. I think he has. None. Oh, I could sworn he had a little game.
I said that with my chest. I have no fucking idea if he has. What are you thinking? What have you seen then? Is he back in the team?
I don't know if he's back like starting 11, 90 minutes week in, week out. But I did see his name pop up the other day.
Do you remember we were talking about like a January move for Modric? Why would he come? He wouldn't start. He would now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you're thinking, Rick.
That's exactly, yeah. Little That's slag. Exactly what That's, I was
I can still read your mind, you little fucking snag. Yes, shit, he's playing again.
Yeah, see, I thought he might have.
How many games is
he's he's too good not to play.
Fucking stop playing him so we can have him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mate, he would be brilliant, wouldn't he? Just that like, little twilight in his career. Trying to find out how much exactly he's played. Just give me 2 seconds. Let's just do this properly.
Right, okay. And then while you're doing that, Berbatov, although he is such a lovely, silky player, and he can put the ball in the back of the net, I just don't think that that is a glaring gap at the moment.
No, not with Son up.
Although, saying
said
that...
Kane. If you'd have said Kane... What would you ask me then?
Kane. Because he can play centre-back. The amount of times that Giza did headed clearances, he is almost like he's just the complete player, plays everywhere.
Yeah.
Except from goalkeeper, because we saw how that ended.
Yeah. I hate him and love him and miss him.
Yeah,
he's like the one that got it. Like she stayed with you so long, and you still found a fit after 12 years, and you still wanted to bang every night after 12 years, and then you know how beautiful she is, and now what a wonderful wife and she is, but she falls out of love with you, and you don't want it. You'll do everything you can to stop that from happening, but she falls out of love with you, and you can't keep a woman. You could try for 3 years to keep a woman who doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
But eventually...
You can do everything, yeah.
Eventually, there's nothing you can do in the bedroom that will impress her after 13 years.
No.
I mean, what are you saying, Rick? You reckon you've got some moves still on your missus? Or...
Yeah, I have. Ready to break out when I hit 50.
The jackhammer.
Yeah, and then I'll take it up a notch.
Yeah, but that's the thing. And she's like... Like, I love you. I understand. We've built a life together. But I need that dick. And that's what Kane's getting by Munich. Yeah. He's getting that massive dick.
Yeah. It's hard not to.
And you look down at your dick and it's like normal. You're like, you know, it's a normal dick and fucking, she's over there with like, that's abnormal dick. There's only 5 or 6 men in Europe with dick like that. She's getting that. And we've just got normal dick. It's
yeah.
I'm sick of normal dick, Rick. I want to have an abnormal dick. Do you not want abnormal dick?
Yeah, of course I do.
Fucking give us abnormal dick. Anyway, look. Luka Modric has he's played a total of 40% of the minutes of Real Madrid this season, and he's been in the starting 11 for 36%. I think in their first five games he didn't feature at all, so he's definitely back in the side. Little fucking rat. Come back there. Come back, Jack. We got a question here from Rico Spurs, Ricky. He says, Spurs were particularly unlucky last season, but has this season's car crash been worse? From top spot unbeaten in 10 to then losing half our first team to various injuries for months in the space of a few weeks and losing every game since, can Spurs ever have nice things? I guess the question here, Rick, is that the nice thing that we have is, and this is what I believe, is Ange Postecoglou, because eventually it will click, because it has clicked this season already and we've been so unlucky. Do you believe in it?
I do. The thing, it's really hard because the game against Chelsea, like the first 20 minutes, half hour, like battering them, opening them up at will, and we just couldn't convert the chances that we had. Two red cards, game completely changes, we lose the game. Against Villa, again, first half hour, 40 minutes, open them up at will, battering them, but we just couldn't convert. But we are playing in the right way and we are creating the chances. That's what matters. If we weren't creating those chances and playing in those ways, a couple of the offside goals that we scored against Villa was sublime. All it takes is just a little bit of patience of Son staying onside and timing his run correctly, a couple more injured players back, and we'll be cooking. And that's the thing. Like, if these losses, three in a row, had happened and we didn't look like we could muster anything, we didn't look like scoring, we didn't look like we could defend, we didn't look hungry, there was nothing about there was no pattern in our play, it was just a mess. If none of that stuff was there, then I would be panicking. But all of that is there, and it's just the rub of the green, the injuries, and then like putting the ball in the back of the net. But I think it will all come. And in the short amount of time that Ange has been here and got us the way that we're playing is great. And I think we will go. I think the second part of our season, you'll really see how good we're going to be. I'm not worried.
Yeah, I agree. There was another question here I've lost, but he said, how do we stop the free fall that we're currently experiencing? Like, is it all fucked? Or, you know, how do we stop it? How do we stop it? And the reality is you just see it play out. You don't stop it. There'll be opportunities to win games and compete, and hopefully we'll get the rubber to green and win games, but you just wait. That's all it is, because everything's there. You can see it's there. The players are there. The first 11 is excellent. A couple of windows, we're going to be building a squad that is exactly in line with what Postecoglou wants. We just have to wait. This is a tough period. It's difficult, but free fall isn't going to end us. Isn't going to end up with us being relegated. So just, I know it's hard, right? I appreciate it. I feel it the same. Since basically the Chelsea game, I've felt fucking rank about Spurs, and that isn't me hating Tottenham or anything to do with Spurs. I'm hating the situation we find ourselves in. But I also know if I wait long enough, it will be better. That's very different from when we drew 3-3 with Southampton last season with Conte went mental. At that point, you're like, where do we fucking go from here? This is an injury crisis that will be healed over time. That last season was something completely different. So we just have to wait and endure and implore the return of our injured players.
And also... It is especially hard to take that we were at the dizzying heights, top of the league, winning game after game, and then suddenly, brakes slammed on, injuries, and we've lost three games in a row. To go from the highs down to those lows so quickly, it's painful. But
sucks balls.
there's a reason, which is the injury. So it's not how we're playing, personally speaking.
Can I just take this moment to say that the NordVPN are proudly backing the Fighting Cup once again.
Yes.
And the reason why they're doing that is because we give you nuggets of gold like this. If you're living in a household and you have small children and a wife, you'll inevitably have a parental block. There's no world where you can ask your wife, can you turn that off so I can have a tug in the toilet? You can't.
Yeah.
But with NordVPN, you can get around the parental block on any device you choose. Could be a laptop, could be your television, your phone most likely. Can't take your television into the toilet, can you? Could you imagine that, carrying out? Just off for a tug, love.
Just laying in the bath and taking the 60-inch fucking flat screen, dragging it off the wall. There's cables going all up the stairs.
It was like when I was a kid when I had dial-up and had to run the lead from the fucking the telephone point to my computer, so that I could be able to download images off the internet to wank to. Like what I'm saying is, you know, the men that listen to this, you know what I'm talking about. Parental locks are a fucking pain in the ass, but they're right. You're doing the right thing because you're protecting your children. You are not a child, my friend. Take control of what you want to see on your phone, on your 60-inch, on your laptop. But do it without letting your wife know. So sign up for NordVPN and get access to all of the pornography you can possibly consume on the internet without anybody knowing and still look like you're a good dad. You can do that.
And then at the end of that, get cheap flights as well. Reduce the bill for Netflix. Everything.
That's what your wife... your wife's going to love that bit. You're going to love the other bit that we just talked about. Or you can do all of that for the price of about £4 a month or whatever NordVPN is. I'm not sure what the actual price is. It's the price of a cup of coffee, they say.
Yeah.
But what... So you're saying to me you've gone from a position of saying, I can't see any of that grot, to signing up to NordVPN... And not only getting all the grot, but getting cheap flights to Spain next summer.
Putting change on the table, argue you've had a wank. I mean, what's not to like?
You're saving your relationship, if anything. And you can save your relationship by going to nordvpn.com/thefightingcock. And if you sign up right now, you get 4 extra months for free. So that's all the porn, that's cheap flights, and that's 4 extra months free. NordVPN.com/thefightingcock. Get involved.
Lovely.
That was probably the best NordVPN read we've ever done, Rick. I was so excited by it that
you're going to get another subscription out.
I don't pay for my subscription. Okay, we've got a question here from Barrett N17. He says, my missus loves to give me head while I watch Spurs. She thinks...
Wow.
I don't get that, by the way. Like, there's this idea of having a pint and having a spliff while you get a blowjob. I couldn't handle that. That's too much. That's a sensory overload I couldn't handle.
Yeah.
She thinks it enhances the experience for me because I'm receiving something I love while watching something I love. It's fantastic, but I'm worried I'm going to develop a condition where I can no longer climax without watching Sonny. If that continues, I envisage myself in a couple of years asking her to wear a sun mask while we're banging one out. Would appreciate your insight and advice on whether I should just ride it out and see what happens, or cut to the chase and start having a cut of hair to look like Sunny now. Cheers.
That is...
Camera's just gone, Rick, somewhere. I don't know what to say to that. That's... genius.
What happens if you are receiving said blowjob and we score and you jump up? That is
also... that what be... if you come and on the screen is Oliver Skip?
Oh god, yeah.
Wait, you'd worse, have to
dress her up like Oliver Skip every time.
Or one of the under 20-21 development squad on the bench. That makes you a pedo.
You've trodden down a slippery slope, my friend.
Stop getting blowjobs while watching Spurs. Fucking freak. Another question here from Plastic Sand 2748 for free, my bad. He says, you kidnap Matty Cash and tie him to the chair at in an undisclosed location. You have 1 hour to work your magic on him, but only one member of the Fighting Cop is allowed to enter the room. Which member do you choose to break his kneecaps? Rick, this is interesting because I've got an opinion on that challenge that I don't think is popular with Spurs fans or any, you know, fans. What do you think of Matty Cash currently?
I think he is a bastard because he took Doherty out and now he's taken Bentancur out. And I think both challenges were well over the top and pretty rash. And now we've got, well, two injuries to Tottenham players under his name. And he... like, you can't really be like, oh, someone's got to look at that. Because, like, I mean, like, do you think he's got a vendetta against Tottenham? Like,
do you remember Charlie Adam had a vendetta against Spurs?
Yeah, a little bit. Do you remember that? Yeah, I do.
Did you think he actually had a vendetta against Spurs or he's just a nasty player?
I think he's just a nasty player.
Matty Cash, he is an aggressive footballer. I don't think the challenge, and I just, like, I know, don't fucking, please don't, like, get at me because I've had enough of being attacked by Everton fans, let alone my own fans this week. But I don't think the challenge on Bentancur was outrageous. I thought it was aggressive and it was, and I think the injury was unfortunate. I thought the tackle on Matt Doherty was much worse.
Yeah.
I don't think that, and I'm just trying to be, this is generally what I feel, I don't think that that challenge that Matty Cash does isn't one that Romero wouldn't blink at doing.
Yeah.
And Romero's one of ours, so we ignore it. But when it happens against us, we're outraged. And that's the problem with football at the moment, is that everybody's outraged when it happens to your own club.
Hypocrisy. But I don't want to look in the mirror, Flav. I don't want to see Romero's reflection as he's crunched someone. Just ignore that because he's our player.
Yeah. But, no, I get it.
Some of the things that I've seen pop up in WhatsApp groups of a handful of Tottenham fans tweeting Matty Cash absolutely disgraceful things. Like, I get it, man.
I haven't seen any of this. What's been happening?
So there's been a few screen grabs of people hiding behind Twitter accounts tweeting Matty Cash about his Polish heritage, war stuff. You know, really unsavory. Like, I get
these are people who wouldn't have a fucking clue that he has Polish heritage unless he played for Poland as well.
Exactly. But anyway, if you listen to this and you thought about doing it or you did do it, fuck off.
Don't be too hasty.
I've got a dark sense of humour, but that is just like, that is.
That's not a sense of humour while they're doing it. They're angry and they're trying to hurt you.
It's totally uncalled for.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, but yeah, don't stop listening though.
No.
Keep listening. Sign up to NordVPN. Like, be a bigot online, like, and we hate you for it, but keep listening. No, don't. Just fuck off, like Ricky said. Fuck off.
Fuck off. Fuck right off.
Keep listening. Ricky can't hear this. Keep listening, though. Just don't tell anyone what you said. Ikaboka, he says, as someone who's only been listening to the pod for the last 2 years, could you share how the pod was started? How each of you found your way into it? How's the journey been? Well, me and Ricky went football for a long time, and I had an idea of doing a podcast, and I reached out to Spooky, and he ignored me. And then eventually I emailed him when I was pissed up one night and said, do you want to do a podcast? The idea was that Spooky had a platform, and if we were going to make a podcast, then there'd need to be somewhere for it to be launched. This is back in 2011. And Spook eventually agreed to it. So it was launched on Dear Mr. Levy, which back then was the best. Blogs were a massive thing back then, but they're less relevant now. That's how it started. Ricky has been my mate way before the Fighting Cock. And just sort of got a group of lads together. There was only a couple of podcasts then. And yeah. we started recording, Rick, every week, every Monday, without fail.
It was recorded in pubs. It was recorded in my house. Yeah. It's been recorded in Flav's dad's house. It's been recorded in a vintage clothes shop. We've been everywhere.
Years in the clothes shop. We used to record there.
Yeah, it was being recorded in Chicago Dan's pub in South London. We've done a tour.
I never thought we'd be remote, because like before COVID, basically, the idea of us not recording in the same room together was just something that would never be considered.
No.
And then since COVID, it was like, people are still listening. Do I have to go to London every week?
Yeah.
Now I don't. And we can do more podcasts because people accept that this is a fine way to do it. But yeah, that's it. I mean, it's very long-winded and boring conversation about how we got here. But yeah, I think fundamentally it's just a group of lads who love each other and love Tottenham. And we've been doing the same thing for what is in our 14th year now. Season 13, 14. Madness. All right, a couple more and then we've got to finish because my kids are waiting in the cold for me to finish. And it's like -2. But at least I'm not shagging a prostitute. I'm recording.
There is that.
I'll explain that to them. Look, just be fucking lucky I wasn't up there banging a prosy, right? Tito, he says, was chatting with my old man, and we had a discussion about whether Spurs should sell Romero if he's going to get a red card so regularly. No one can deny his talent, but my dad said it might be worth cashing in on to get someone who has a better temperament. I personally think he's still got time to work on this. Would love to hear what the Fighting Cock thinks. What do you think, Rick? He's too good. It's a fair point.
It's a fair point that he has, again, maybe it's like 3 red cards in 75 games. I don't know. There's a lot, basically. He needs to control that temper.
Red card every 18 games.
Is it fucking hell? He needs to control that aggression. I'm not saying take it out of him, because that's who he is, right? And we're going to have to expect that he is going to get more red cards going forward. But I think after this run of games where he's been out for 3 games and we've lost, he needs to take it upon himself as to have a word with himself to say, like, that's not on. Your team needed you, and you just acted in such a silly way and got yourself sent off. And it was needless, really. I think you'll never take it out of a player like that, because that's in their makeup. That's who they are. And I wouldn't want to take it
to the position where they're at right now.
Exactly. But he's supposed to be like one of the vice captains. You need to lead by an example, and you need to kind of be there for the team and your teammates and not make those silly challenges. But no, don't sell him. Don't sell him. Keep him.
I mean, Sergio Ramos was Real Madrid's club captain for a decade. They never even considered it. And he's a bigger cunt than Romero.
He's the biggest shithouse going, isn't he?
Yeah. One of my favourite things he ever did was dislocate Salah's shoulder in the final of the Champions League.
Held onto his arm, didn't he, when they went crashing to the floor?
Yeah, brilliant. So now you just keep him and you develop him and appreciate the frailty. In the same, a similar sort of comparison would be, do you abandon Ange Postecoglou because his tactics mean that we might get carved open every now and then? In the same way, do you abandon Romero if he gets sent off, his aggression becomes a problem every now and then, but every other part of his game is great? You just stick with it. He's just a player in the cycle that is much, much better than the other ones we have. Just fucking let him play. And if he gets sent off every now and then we need to have a squad that compensates for that. We understand that that is an issue with Romero, a frailty of his game. And so we need a backup plan to deal with that when his head explodes. And when it does explode...
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. So it's about identifying the frailty in his game and compensating for it.
Yeah.
All right. That's it, Rick.
No, it's good. All right, good.
Nice one.
Lovely.
Oh, lovely. We'll do five statements after the Manchester City game on Sunday. If you want to hear that, you have to become a patron, patreon.com/fightingcock. Otherwise, we'll be back on Monday with the main pod. And nice one, Rick.
Up the Spurs.
Up the Spurs.
Network.